night all over London. The Thames stank. The main ingredient was human waste, adding to the rich mix of dead dogs, horse and cattle manure, rotting vegetables. The rain washed most of it away into the Thames. There were indeed sewers, but they were restricted to surface water only, and it was an offence to run the excrement of your household into them. By 1841, the census counted 1,945,000 people in London, and probably more if you include the shadowy ones who always evade officialdom. There were 200,000 cesspits, full and overflowing. The night soil men charged a shilling to empty each one, which many people grudged. In the old parts of London, the houses teetered above brimming lakes of filth. The sewers could no longer deal with the surface refuse, and they fractured and overflowed. In 1843, the surveyor of the sewers in Holborn and Finsbury, where there were 98 miles of covered sewers and no access to the Thames, reported that in a large proportion of the covered sewers, the accumulation of foul deposit has remained for many years in a state of fermentation, being the cause of much disagreeable and unhealthy effluvia. The remedy was by raising the substance in buckets to be emptied in the street and afterwards carted away, an operation to be avoided by those with delicate noses. There was a sewer in Westminster, then a slum district, despite the Grand Palace of Westminster, from which, according to a survey in 1849, a sickening smell escapes into the houses and yards that drain into it. In the aristocratic districts of Belgravia and Grosvenor Square, Hanover Square and Berkeley Square, there are many faulty places in the sewers which abound in noxious matter, in many instances stopping up the house drains and smelling horribly. But nothing was done. A labourer, working under Buckingham Palace itself, said he was hardly ever in such a set of stinks as I've been in the sewers and underground parts of the palace. Some sewers were hundreds of years old, and the brickwork was crumbling. They were all cleaned, in theory, by men and by the force of occasional deluges, but a noisome deposit gradually built up, which could not be dislodged. Another ingredient in the street bouquet was animal dung. Cows were kept in cowsheds all over London, in appalling conditions. The cattle, sheep, calves and pigs sold in Smithfield Market walked through the London streets, depositing nearly 40,000 tons of dung a year as they went. The thousands of horses that powered London each excreted 45 pounds of faeces and 3.5 pounds of urine a day, nearly 37,000 tons of dung in a year. Animal and human excrement was not the only problem. Friedrich Engels was in England between November 1842 and August 1844, gathering material for The Condition of the Working Class in England. The corpses of the poor have no better fate than the carcasses of animals. The pauper burial ground at St. Bride's Church is a piece of open marshland which has been used since Charles II's day, and there are heaps of bones all over the place. Every Wednesday the remains of dead paupers are thrown into a hole, which is 14 feet deep. A clergyman gabbles through the burial service and then the grave is filled with loose soil. On the following Wednesday, the ground is opened again, and this goes on until it is completely full. The whole neighbourhood is infected by the dreadful stench from this burial ground. The coal gas, which was coming into use, had a sickening smell, not like modern gas. Predictably, the gas mains leaked. If you happen to pass an excavation in a London street even now, you can sometimes catch a whiff of coal gas. The soil is impregnated with it. The gasworks scattered through London spread their foul smell far and wide. Some districts smelt worse than others. Slums exhaled their foul odours down fetid alleys behind the most fashionable shops and houses. But the prize winner in the stink stakes was Bermondsey, on the south bank of the Thames, opposite the Tower of London. This was where skins and hides